speaker offers a 1 hour. And the purpose of these conferences is to have you pray during our conferences. The one giving the retreat is not the sinner. The Lord Himself who is speaking to you. And the secret is to listen to Him and speak with Him. A retreat should be mainly a conversation between our souls and God. Ask you, O Lord, to enlighten our minds. Lord, enlighten me. Teach me what I have done. What I have done, may that you are pleased. What have I done, where I have sinned? How you want me to thank you for the grace you've given me. How I need to beg your mercy for the sins I've committed. And above all, how I need to plan the times he left me in his valley of tears. Our first meditation is on our own personal sins. There are three meditations in the full exercise, which, as you know, last 3 days. 3 days, 5 meditations each day. No matter how short the retreat may be, we should reflect on our own personal sins and ask ourselves how serious, how grave have the sins that I have committed. What a difference between knowing something and realizing it. How we need all of us sinners being with the speaker. How we need to realize the gravity of our failure to serve God. Language of Saint Ignatius was asked our Lord to see the loathsomeness, the malice of every grave sin I've committed. I hope and pray that some of you have never committed a mortal sin. The larger the audience, the more sure I am that we've all committed, please God, it's not true, a grave sin. Our sins, when they are grave, deprived us of the right to heaven. And except for God's mercy, all of us have been called into eternity. Mommy had offended God gravely, and then we had to pay. So our faith tells us we have had to pay. Hear it, with eternal punishment. If a person dies in grave sin, our faith tells us that person is subject, hear it, to everlasting punishment. Oh, dear God, how we need to remind ourselves of our faith in today's unbelieving society. Well, I should humble myself by asking myself a series of questions. What am I compared with all men and women of the world. When are all men and women compared with the angels and the saints in paradise? Well, that's only the beginning. So I continue. And it tells us to consider all the corruption, growths, and news of sin. All of us will die because of sin. All the suffering, all the pain, every death in the world is a result of sin. But that's only the beginning. Our faith tells us if a person dies in a state of grave sin, that person is lost for all eternity. How we need, as we begin this retreat, to realize the gravity, our deep, the loathsomeness of sin. Then follow some of the most leading paragraphs in spiritual literature, coined by St. Ignatius. I am to consider, and recommending that we do this now, consider who God is against whom I have sinned. Going through the attributes of God, comparing them with the sins in myself. The wisdom of God against whom I have sinned, compared with my ignorance. His power, compared with my weakness. God's justice, compared with my iniquity. God's goodness compared with my wickedness. And I, what a mystery, I have sinned against this God. We ask ourselves, how is it that God has allowed me to sin, in most cases, he tells us, till the audience assume that most of the audience have sinned gravely. And except for God's mercy, I say this with complete conviction, except for the mercy of God, we could be, only God knows how many of us have sinned gravely, we could be in hell. The first reaction of our reflection on sin should be gratitude. Dear Lord, I am deeply grateful to you for sparing me being a sinner. I have deserved the most painful punishment for my sins. Yet, dear Lord, you have spared me. All we have to do is reflect on the first creature that God made, the angels. They sinned only once. You know how many angels had sinned, but our faith tells us the number was a multitude of angels. Each angel is an individual person. We can safely say millions of angels sinned. how they punished. They sin only once. Every angel who sinned, our faith tells us, was sent to hell. The first sentiment we should all have as we reflect on our sins is deep gratitude. Dear Lord, dear God, how grateful I am that I am still alive, alive in this world, able to expiate my sins. How we all need, beginning with the speaker, a deep sense of gratitude, God having spared me the punishment due to my sins. It tells me to reflect. Why are the angels, they are the sword of God's justice, tolerated me, guarded me, prayed for me? Why are the saints pleaded for me, asked God to bless me? How have the heavens, the sun, moon, and stars give me light and heat and strength over the years in giving retreats? Be my own retreat every year, 8 days every year, required by St. Ignatius for every Jesuit. Reflecting on my past life, I ask myself, Lord, why have you spared me? Except for your mercy and love, I could be in hell. Oh, dear God, how grateful I am that you spared me. How is it that the earth, with St. Ignatius, did not swallow me up and create new hells in which I could be tormented forever? All we have to do is reflect on the sin of the angels. They sin only once. We don't know how many angels sinned. The numbers we can safely say was in the millions. They sinned only once. The angels, when they sinned, were immediately cast into hell. And reflect on God's mercy to us. How grateful we should be. How grateful we should be to God for sparing each one of us. I say this beginning with myself. Only God knows how much longer we have to live in this world. The larger the number of retreats to whom I speak, I tell them within the next year, some of us will die. And except for God's mercy, oh, how great we should be to God. And except for God's mercy, we could now be suffering for all eternity. The first sin we should all have is deep gratitude to God for sparing me. Dear Lord, I thank you from the depths of my heart for keeping me alive in this world and sparing me the punishment I deserve for my sins. And we read this, praise God's mercy. He should be moved, first of all, to gratitude to God for sparing me. All of us will die. Some of us sooner than others. We have only a short time to live. Let's be sure the life still left us in this world be a life of deep gratitude to God. Spend the rest of your lives thanking God for sparing you, giving you the opportunity, the privilege of expiating your sins for the rest of your days. Oh, dear Lord, dear God, how ready we should be to suffer. I know what I'm saying. How ready we should be to suffer. The days still left us for the sins we've committed. I have some maxims of the saints. Says St. Basil, the end of sin is death. Except that sin into the world, no one would die. All the suffering in the world, all the pain is due to sin. But our faith tells us that the suffering of this world is as nothing compared to the everlasting suffering that is due to every grave sin we have committed. Dear Lord, how grateful we should be to God for giving us the privilege, hear the word, the privilege of suffering in this world to expiate our sins. I mean that from the depths of my heart. How grateful I should be to God for giving me the privilege of suffering and enduring pain to expiate my sins. Our meditation is on sin. And I wish to reflect briefly on this order caused by my sinful actions. St. Ignatius tells us to ask Our Lady to obtain for us the grace to understand the disorder caused by my sins. Only God knows, only He knows what the world would have been had sin not been committed. All the suffering, all the pain, all the deaths in the world are the result of sin. Because of sin, we've lost grace. The more deeply we have sinned, the more grace we have lost. Having begun this retreat, we should reflect on the duty we have to make up for the sins we've committed. Dear God, as I look back in my past life, reflect on the sins I've committed against God, how I should spend the rest of my days patiently, willingly, shall I add, joyfully, dare I say it, joyfully enduring pain for the sins I have committed and the author of the spiritual exercise puts it, he had asked for light, light from God to recognize the two disorders caused by sin. What are they? And the first disorder is blindness of the mind. Sin blinds our intellects. Sin weakens our wills. Every sin we commit makes us blind. Every sin we commit weakens our wills to make us less and less able to do God's will. Now we need to realize, I mean realize, the gravity of sin. And reflect on sin, should ask ourselves, how much have I suffered so far in my life? Every pain I endure, every suffering I undergo is a result of sin. My own sin and the sins of others. Except for sin, there would be no pain in the world. Except for sin, no one would have died. All the pain, all the suffering in the world is a result of sin. And hear it. My suffering is due to my own sins and the sins of others. And my sins are the cause of the suffering of the rest of the world. Others need to be said. Each one of us has contributed deeply, gravely to the suffering in the world. Aware of the gravity of sin, we should first of all hear it patiently. I repeat, patiently. Endure pain. Endure suffering. To expiate our own sins and the sins of others. How we need to hear this. Pain is God's way of giving us the privilege of making up for our own sins and the sins of others. We need pain. Do you hear me? We need pain to expiate our sins and the sins of others. How wise the saints were. The deeper their suffering, the more they told God, "Dear Lord, will you endure and accept the suffering for my own sins and the sins of the world? Oh, dear God, how shall I say it? How grateful we should be for the pain we endure. Pain, the privilege we have of expiating our sins and the sins of the world. Dear God, how we need pain, how we need suffering to make up for the sins that we have committed and we suffering to expiate the sins of others. We go on. Aware of the gravity of our own sins, And we begin this retreat, let's resolve never, comma, never to complain about the pain we have to endure. Pain to expiate our own sins, and pain to expiate the sins of others. There is suffering in the world because there is sin. In God's mercy, give us the privilege of suffering to expiate sin. Oh, dear God, how willing, dear I see, how great we should be for the suffering that God sends us to expiate our own sins and the sins of others. But in honor of the pain that we endure, hear it. We should willingly accept pain. In a word, as we begin this retreat, we should all do penance for our sins. Penance is voluntary pain, willingly endured, to expiate my own sins and the sins of others. Oh, dear God, dear Lord, how ready and willing we should be to undergo suffering. We have sinned ourselves. We're living in a world, no, our sin is drowned in sin. We all know how much sin is being committed. Sin must be expiated. The expiation of sin is the principal meaning of suffering. Thank God for the pain, the suffering that He sends you. But I go on. We should not only accept the suffering that God sends us, we should willingly, freely, undergo suffering. One in the Society of Jesus, can hardly believe it, 1936, 64 years ago, till I dream how much the Lord would give me of suffering. We need pain. Am I clear? We need suffering to expiate our own sins and the sins of others. That's why there is pain in the world. All the pain, all the suffering in the world is meant by God to be a means of expiating our own sins and the sins of others. Our first meditation in this retreat should not only willingly accept the suffering, the pain that God sends us. Question, what is pain? Pain is everything contrary to our wills. Everything contrary to our wills is pain. Hear it. Should not only willingly accept the suffering or the pain that God sends us. Hear it. We should willingly, do I use the word? Do I say it? generously accept pain to expiate our own sin, the sins of others. Oh, dear Lord, living as we are in a world that runs away from suffering, how ready we should be, how willing, I don't say to accept, but embrace pain. Pain is the God-given privilege we have of expiating, making up for the sins that we have committed and the pain that we endure for the sins of the world. That is what voluntary suffering means. We should undergo penance. Dare I say it? We should do something. Again, dare I say it? Every day, we don't like to do it to expiate our own sins and the sins of others. And the deepest pain is not in the body. The deepest pain is the mind and the will. Oh, dear Lord, how stupid we can be. Dare I say how insane we can be in looking at, reading everything that crosses our path. In our first meditation in this retreat, we talk about penance in God's name. Avoid reading so much the world offers us, because it leads us into sin. I want to ask for raising of hands to ask you how many of you read the daily papers. Oh, dear Lord. How wise we should be in avoiding, I mean that verb deliberately, avoiding reading the daily papers. Father, are you serious? I am dead serious. We expose our minds to the sin of the world by reading the daily papers. How we should practice mortification. Getting up in the morning as soon as our phone rings, get up immediately. During the day, how many ways we fail in mortifying our wills? But the deepest penance we are to perform, each one of us, is what we call interior mortification. We are not to look at everything we see. And not to listen to everything we hear. And not to follow the example of others that we see. How we need to mortify mortify our senses, living in a world that is literally studded with temptations to sin. Our first meditation is on penance. My plea with you, ask yourselves, ask our Lord to enlighten you what reading you should stop doing, what reading you should start doing. Dear Lord, how we expose our minds to sin every day. One last raising of hands. How many of you have last read the life of some saint? See my mind. Put up your hands. Newspapers and magazines in our nation are filled with sin, glorified, exalted, praised. I've said this before to one audience after another in my 53 years in the priesthood. I think I've read the newspapers 3 times in God's name. In God's name, mortify your eyes. In God's name, do not read. So much of what the world puts in our way to expose us to sin. What if it's been looking at something and seeing it? Do not look at everything you see. Do not listen to everything you hear. In an opening meditation, I plead with you to prize mortification of the eyes, mortification of the ears. How we should realize the world in which we are living is a world studded with sin. How we need to mortify our senses. Ask yourself the opening meditation of the retreat. What reading am I doing that I should stop doing as a fruit of this retreat? Are you safe in saying this? There are magazines, there are newspapers and books. I dare say in the lives of some of you that should be removed. Do I say, should be thrown away. Dear Lord, how we need to mortify, especially our eyes and our ears. And as we close this first meditation, I plead with you, examine your consciences and ask yourselves in God's presence, what in my life should I remove? What should I stop reading? What should I stop looking at? Do I say it? What person in my life should I stop keeping company with? Even Jesus tells us to put away all this worldly from our lives. You live in a world that, and I say with complete conviction, a world that is being led by the evil spirit. Ask our Lord to enlighten you. Lord, what do you want me to remove from my life? What do you remove from my life that I should not read? What should I remove my life I should not look at? What persons of my life, dare I say it? He applies to only one person in the retreat worth saying. What person or person in my life should I stop keeping company with? Dear Lord, we all need to practice mortification. And the principal mortification that God expects of all of us is to put away from our lives what we know from experience leads us into sin. The world that God created is good, but how well we know this world has been filled with sin. What we need to know in our own lives, each one of us personally, examine your consciences. Who in my life is source of sin for me? There are persons whom we should put out of our lives. There are persons in our lives who we can put out our lives, but are a cause of sin. Ask yourselves, how are the people whom I know, whom I live with, whom I associate with, lead me into sin? Then ask, O Lord, to give you the light and the strength to either put away these persons from your lives, or in God's mercy, remain firm, strong, in resisting the temptations to which those whom you know, maybe whom you live with, who lead you into sin. God has created a good world, but this world as we know is filled with sin, caused first by the devil, and then by human beings who have subjected themselves to the evil spirit. Dear Lord, in this first meditation, ask yourselves, what are the temptations in my life? Lead me into sin. Sins of pride. Do I say it? Sins of lust. Sins of vanity. Sins of laziness. I know myself too well. Dare I say that we're going to confession too often, not know how lazy I have been. Dear God, enlighten my mind. teach me to see myself as you see me. See what I should have done that I failed to do. What virtues could I have practiced that in my laziness I have failed to do? I have two quotations, St. Ignatius, to quote. First one, you see how much evil, how many snares and deceits surround you on all sides. I'm not surprised at this, and have been worse when I was touched me. As soon as you decide and want to live with all your strength, decide to remove from your lives what you know from your experience has led you into sin, in God's name, in his first meditation, examine your conscience. What persons, what places, what things, what reading have you done? What person have you listened to have led you into sin? In God's mercy, I ask him to tell you, dear Lord, teach me, tell me what sins I committed, what has led me into sin in the past. With your grace, give me the strength to resist these temptations in the future. Dare I say it? Our temptation to sin come mainly from other human beings. We need, our need to be, I say, careful, shrewd in avoiding, what shall I call it, prolonged conversations with certain people. Ask our Lord to tell you what has led you into sin in the past. How blind we can be. What has led me to sin? Sins of pride. Sins of lust. Sins of laziness. In the past. And, dear Lord, what am I to do to avoid committing these sins in the future? There's only one sure way of avoiding sin, and that is to remove that which causes sin. Dare I say it? I will spend a full hour in his first meditation. He has 5 minutes left. In God's name, examine your minds. What thoughts do I have? What am I thinking about? I cannot tell you anything more important than to control your thoughts. I cannot think of a more powerful way of mastering our minds than to pray. Pray, dare I say it, Pray always never allow a moment. I don't say a minute, I don't say 5 minutes. Don't allow a moment to go wasted. Dear Lord, I know the human mind too well. 53 years as a priest has taught me a lot about human nature. How lazy the human mind can be. How weak the mind can be. How enslaved our minds can become. Enslaved by people. Enslaved by conversation. Ask yourselves, how much talking am I doing? What am I thinking about? In God's name, to begin this retreat, ask our Lord for the grace to master your minds and control your tongue. Master your minds and control your tongue. Dear Lord, you're not made for time. You're made for eternity. You'll all die, every one of us. Not meant to live here forever. Thank God. You're made for heaven. You'll get to heaven only if we master first our minds. In God's name, control your minds. Make sure you think every minute, every moment of the day, what God wants you, what God wants you to think about. What do most people spend most of the time thinking about? Yes, themselves. And we close this first meditation. We strongly recommend that you train yourselves to pray always. Talk to God. I mean what I'm saying. Talk to God. I mean this always. Keep asking for what you need. Tell God how wonderful He is. Tell God how deeply you love Him. Ask God to tell you what you've done wrong. Ask God to tell you what you should do. Talk to God always. There are two words. A-double-L, next word, W-A-Y-S. Always talk to God. Dear Lord, enlighten my mind that I may know what you want me to do, because I'm made for heaven. I'll reach heaven only if I do your will. But I will do your will only if my mind knows what you want. Dear Lord, I beg you, enlighten my mind, know what you want. Then you've strengthened my will to do it. You're made not for this world, made for heaven. Reach heaven only we do God's will. We must first know what God wants, then with grace to do it. You should know what God wants by asking Him, dear Lord, tell me what you want. Then beg Him, dear God, with the strength to do it. Because you are made for heaven. Reach heaven only if we do the will of God, which means we surrender our wills every moment of the day, all day. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Gloria.